You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Friends, in case I haven't met you before, my name is Renu. I'm one of the pastors here at Gateway. And the title of my message this morning is By Faith, Thriving in the In-Between. And you know, this year our declaration is by faith we will see the unseen. And you know, this word thriving speaks of flourishing, of health, of growth. You know, Psalm 92 verse 12 says this, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. And my prayer for us is by faith that as we wait for the unseen to be seen, as we sit in that in-between between the promise and seeing the outcome of it, we will thrive, we will flourish. So would you join me in opening in prayer? Lord God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are a promise keeper, that what you say you will do. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that as I speak this morning, that you will minister each of our hearts, that you will stir our hearts to keep believing and keep pressing on in all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'd love to find out from you guys, when you go on a trip, firstly, who likes road trips? Who likes heading out on a road trip? You know, young adults today, we're driving out on a little road trip down towards Anglesey, going for a little walk after church. So if you're a young adult and you want to join us, come and chat to me after. But who likes to take like the straight kind of inland road to get to a destination? You know, it gets you there quicker. Neil, I'm like that too, Neil. Nia, I see that as well. Sharon, you as well. Yeah, I'm the same. Sonia, I like that inland road because, you know, you get to your destination, you're sorted. Who likes the kind of windy coastal road? You see the beautiful. Oh, okay. I see we're not in good company as to like the inland road. Most people like the windy road. And, you know, the windy road, there's lots of winds and turns. Sometimes there might be detours. There might be bends. It's a bit slower, but there's lots to see in that road. And, you know, like I said, I'm definitely in that first group who likes kind of the quick immediate destination road, but I'm learning that there's much to see in the in-between. Like there's much to learn in that sort of windy inland road. And a few weeks ago, I was in Bright for the weekend, and I had the opportunity to go down to Mount Beauty for a drive. And so I had two options, the inland road or sort of the windy road. And I was like, all right, I've got time. I will try the thing I don't like, which is the windy road. And, you know, on that road, there was a place called Sullivan's Lookout, and it had this beautiful view of Mount Boogong, which is the highest point in Victoria, if I've got that correct. And it's a beautiful sight. And, you know, I thought to myself, I could have seen it on the inland road, but I would have just driven past it because my eyes would have been on the road. But because I took the scenic route or the windy road, I got to see it. I got to pull the car over and just look out and see the majestic beauty. And, you know, my encouragement for you this morning is sometimes we like the start of the journey and the destination, but the in-between, you know, we want to get there quick. I want to get there quick. No mucking around. Get to the destination. But, you know, in the in-between, there's such beauty to be seen. There's great things that God wants to show us. And my encouragement for you today, for myself today, is the promises, the desires, the purposes that God has put in our hearts, the things we want to see, the people in our world that we're believing for to know Jesus, that maybe it can seem like a far-off destination. Maybe it can seem like how will we ever get there. Maybe there's winds in the road, there's detours. But just like that lookout, that on the journey, there's great things that God wants to show us. There is great things to be experienced, great things that God wants to teach us. And be encouraged that God is working for our good. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that in all things, God works for the good. Not just some things, all things. God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. You know, friend, you and I who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, he works all things for our good. Let me also encourage you that if you find yourself in the in-between, if we look at Bible characters, heroes of the faith, men and women in the Bible, Abraham and Sarah, they found a lot of time in the in-between, between waiting for their promised child. If I think about David, he was anointed as king by Samuel, but he was 30 years old before he became king. And in between that, he experienced a lot of different things. But today, I want to look at the life of Joseph. Many of you will be well familiar with the story of Joseph. It spans a fair bit of the Bible, so don't worry, I'm not going to go through every single chapter from Genesis 37 to 50. But in case you're not familiar, let me give you some backstory. In Genesis 37, Joseph is a 17-year-old. He has dreams from God of ruling and reigning. His brothers dislike him for this and end up selling him into slavery. He ends up working in Potiphar's house. Whilst working as a slave, Joseph is wrongfully accused and thrown into prison. You know, I don't know about you, but if you think about a dream and a destination, this is a windy road. He seems very far away from his destination. But can I encourage you that God has an amazing plan and purpose for Joseph's life? You know, spoiler alert, if you don't know the story, maybe cover your ears. Joseph does end up ruling and reigning, that his God-given dreams come to pass. And you know, Bible scholars comment that Joseph's life is a type of Jesus' life, that there's many parallels between Joseph's life and Jesus' life, that he was wrongfully accused, he experienced betrayal, but most importantly, that he saw the saving of many lives. You know, Joseph's lives in many ways points to the life of Jesus. And as we look at the life of Joseph, be encouraged that Jesus did something greater than what Joseph did in seeing the life of salvation for all of us. And you know, though we know the outcome, the good outcome for Joseph, though we know that Jesus worked all things out for our good, a fair portion of Joseph's story is in the in-between. A fair portion of Genesis 37 to Genesis 45 and so on is the in-between. So as we look today at Joseph's stories, can I encourage you that there's lots of lessons we can learn from Joseph's story about the in-between? Can I also encourage you that we'll be going through a few chapters of Genesis? So if you follow along in your Bible or your Bible app as well, we're starting at Genesis 39, verses 21 to 23. This is after Joseph was in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. You know, I read those three verses, and twice already it says there, the Lord was with Joseph. This is actually repeated four times in just this chapter in verses 2 and 3. The Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph. You know, my friends, if you're taking notes this morning, point number one, in the in-between, be assured that God is with you. God is with you every step of the way in between. You know, you and I may not always feel like it. You may not always feel like he's doing anything. It may feel like nothing is happening, but he is with you. Deuteronomy 31:8 says this, "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail nor abandon you." And you know that song we sung this morning for the first time, yes and amen, that he will not fail us, he will not abandon us, he will be with us every step of the way. My friend, can I encourage you this morning, trust that God will never fail or abandon you, that he will work it out for your good. See, you and I can thrive in the in-between because God is with you. But can I encourage you also that God, as God is with you, take care of what God has entrusted to you today. Take care of what God has given you today. You know, again, if we look back at verse 22, it says how before long the warden put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in that prison. You know, Joseph in charge of both people and prison affairs. But, you know, I'm pretty sure when Joseph had that dream of ruling, it wasn't about being in charge of prisoners and affairs of the prison. You know, at this point, the purpose that God had for him could have seemed so far away. He was like, I had this dream of ruling and reigning, but here I am in prison looking after these people. You know, the Bible doesn't speak about Joseph's response, but I wonder if I put myself in his shoes, I think it would be easy or natural to feel disheartened or discouraged, to be disappointed or to give up on the dream. But, you know, I love what it says in verse 22, that this was Joseph's response. Verse 23, sorry. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. Joseph took care of everything that was entrusted to him for that season. You know, another word for this is stewardship, being responsible or accountable for and taking care of what God has given to us. You know, my friends, in the in-between, the promise, the dream, waiting for the unseen to be seen. What has God given to you? What has God entrusted to you today? You know, it could be your family. It could be your children, your marriage, your friendships, your relationships. It could be your job, your studies, your spiritual growth, your personal health, healing, restoration. You know, in the in-between, what has God entrusted to you today? You know, as I look across the room, I see many, many people who are faithfully looking after what God has entrusted to them today. You know, Marg, when I think of you, the word that comes to mind is diligence. That you are diligent in what God has entrusted to you. That in the in-between, it might feel like nothing's happening, but keep being diligent with what God has entrusted to you. You know, Liz, you're way up the back there, and you'll hate that I've called you on this, but you are someone that I see as being diligent too. Even in our conversations about growing the team of people who are doing words, you're like, we need to get the right people who will look after it well. You know, that shows your heart that you want to be diligent in what God has entrusted to you for this season. So what has God given you today? What has He entrusted to you and I today? Friends, can I encourage you in the in-between, let's keep being assured that God is with us, but let's take care of what He's put in our hands today. Let's take care of what He's put in our hands today. Colossians 3:23 says this, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. You know, I have to remind myself of this fairly regularly. Like when Mondayitis hits after the weekend, you got to go to work. You're like, work willingly at whatever you do. The job that God has given me, I want to be responsible with it. I want to take care of it, what you've given to me. You know, at times this can be tricky. You know, in the mundane, in the everyday, when busy seasons of life come up, when challenges come up in family and with children, difficult situations, hurts the past. But can we be like Joseph? That, you know, in the midst of the prison, in the midst of the challenge, in the in-between, that he chose to take care of what God had given to him. Because as he did, because as we see in this story, amazing things come about as he does that. So point number one, be assured that God is with you. Point number two, take care of what God has given you today. We see that as Joseph does this, eventually things start to happen. Genesis 40 verses 1 to 8. Sometime later, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended their royal master. Pharaoh became angry with these two officials and he put them in prison where Joseph was, in the palace of the captain of the guard. They remained in prison for some time and the captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, who looked after them. Again, he was given people to be responsible for, to steward. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them there the next morning, he noticed they both looked upset. "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked them. And they replied, "We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean." "Interpreting dreams is God's business," Joseph replied. "Go ahead and tell me your dreams." You know, we continue to read in chapter 40 that the cupbearer and the baker tell Joseph their dreams. Joseph, through the power of God, interprets these dreams, and his interpretation is accurate. It is from God, after all. The outcome for the baker is not good, but it's a good outcome for the cupbearer. He gets reinstated in his role serving Pharaoh. Joseph says to the cupbearer, "You know, I've experienced injustice. I've been sold as a slave. I'm put into prison. Can you please speak to Pharaoh favorably about me so I might be set free from this place?" We see him saying this in verse 14 and 15. But you know, when you think just something's going to change, we read in Genesis 40, verse 23. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought. You know, for another 2 years, Joseph remains in prison. I don't know about you, but I read this and I go, wow, I would have been discouraged. You know, it's like when you're on a journey, when you're driving somewhere and you're like, do, all's going all right. And all of a sudden, you see this, a detour sign. It's like you think you're on the way, someone is a detour. And you know, a detour normally means there's a delay because you might take longer, or a detour might mean that you've got to take a longer way or a way that you were not expecting to get to the destination that you want to get to. But, you know, can I suggest to you this morning that what appeared to be a detour was God's perfect timing? What appeared to be a detour, a way that he wasn't expecting to move forward, was God's perfect timing? See, because if I think about this, I've wondered at times, what would have happened if the cupbearer remembered Joseph straight away? You know, he might have said, you know, there's this guy I met in prison. He was wrongfully accused and he was sold into slavery. You need to do something about it, Pharaoh. Like, what would have been Pharaoh's outcome? We were talking about the most powerful person in the nation. Would he have been interested? Would he have been open to the plight that Joseph had? Perhaps he could have been, but it's also likely he may just have overlooked it. But if I think about what happens next, 2 years later in Genesis 41, Pharaoh too has dreams. Pharaoh has a dream and all of a sudden the people that were meant to interpret his dreams, they can't. All of a sudden Pharaoh is distressed. He's like, I can't work out these dreams, and it causes him distress. And now in this moment, the cupbearer remembers. I know a guy. I know this guy. He interpreted my dream. He saw an outcome and it came to pass. It came to truth. You know, what appeared to be a detour in that moment, what appeared to be like, hang on, two more years of nothing changing when I thought something might change, when I thought the cupbearer might speak favorably towards me, that he tells Pharaoh that Joseph can interpret dreams. And we read here in Genesis 41, verse 15 to 16, starting in verse 14, that Pharaoh at once, when he hears that Joseph gives an accurate interpretation, he at once sends for Joseph. In that moment, that 2 years of waiting, what seemed like a detour, was actually God working that perfect moment for when Pharaoh needed his dream interpreted. We read in Genesis 41, verse 15 to 16. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night and no one can tell me what it means. But I've heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. I love Joseph's response in verse 16. It is beyond my power to do this, Joseph replied, but God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. You know, what looked like a detour in this amazing moment was actually God's power to be shown. And Joseph speaks that out. You know, my friend, this morning, your detour could be an opportunity for God's power to be shown. What you feel like is a wind in the road, a bend in the road of getting to the destination could be an opportunity for God's power to be demonstrated. You know, Joseph speaks out God's power. It's beyond my power to do this, but God can tell you what it means. You know, friends, for you and I today, in the in-between, in what might look like a detour, can I encourage you, point number three, to speak out God's power. To speak out God's power for yourself, but also for those around you. See, Joseph spoke it out over Pharaoh, that it's beyond my power to do this, but God can tell you what it means. You know, can you speak out over yourself, the miracle I'm believing for, it's beyond my power, but God can do it. The thing I'm looking to see, the situation I'm wanting to change, I'm wanting to see that to be changed, that's beyond my power, but God is more than able. The challenge you are going through, when you speak to someone else, the difficulty you're facing, you know, I can't help, but I know the one who can. God can see it through. Like Joseph, let's you and I be people who speak out God's power. Let's you and I be people who speak out of what God can do and see him move mightily. Because as we read on, Joseph does interpret Pharaoh's dream. He gives him an interpretation as well as godly counsel. He goes beyond interpretation. He tells Joseph what he, tells Pharaoh what he should do in order to prepare for this famine that is coming. Pharaoh's response, the outcome here in Genesis 41, verse 39 to 41. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of my dreams to you, clearly no one else is intelligent as wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court and all of my people will take orders for you. Only I, sitting on the throne, will have a rank higher than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge in the entire land of Egypt, of the entire land of Egypt. Wow, what an outcome. From slave to prisoner, to the in-between, to the bends in the road, to the detours, to being in charge of Egypt. You know, the spoiler at the end, he does end up being in charge of Egypt. Joseph's dream, God's plan and purpose for him does come to pass. We see the story continue with Joseph organizing a nationwide food drive to secure food for a severe famine. Joseph's then able to provide this food to many, saving their lives. You know, all the bends in the road, all the detours, all the in-betweens, time spent there, Joseph ends up at his destination. But can I suggest something to you this morning? That often we focus on this end destination, the saving the lives of many, that perhaps we miss the impact that God had in the in-between. You know, perhaps what we think was that detour again is a divine opportunity for someone to encounter God. What seemed like a detour at the time in prison was a divine opportunity for people to encounter God. You know, I think of Jesus when he was on the road to heal Jairus' daughter, how the woman with the issue of blood came up to him. And you know, what could have been a detour, what Jairus could have seen a detour, what Jesus could have seen as a detour, was actually a moment for a woman to receive her healing, but a crowd to see the miracle working power of Jesus in that moment. You know, what could be a detour moment could actually be a divine opportunity for someone to experience God through you and I. So let's rewind back a little bit in our story in Genesis 46 to it, where we see a moment which could have been a detour was a divine moment for someone to encounter God. in Genesis 40, verse 6 to 8, we read again, "When Joseph saw them, the cupbearer and the baker the next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. 'Why do you look so worried today?' he asked them. And they replied, 'We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean.' 'Interpreting dreams is God's business,' Joseph replied." Can I encourage you this morning that Joseph noticed their distress? They both looked upset. He noticed. Then he asked a question. "Why do you look so sad today? Why do you look worried today?" You know, what could have seemed like an insignificant moment, Joseph took the opportunity to step out and ask the question. He then brought God into the conversation. Interpreting dreams is God's business. You know, by doing this, he was stepping out in faith. And if you think about it, eventually it led for the pathway for him to do the same for Pharaoh. So what seemed like a little conversation here ended up to be the same thing that he could do in Pharaoh's life, in Pharaoh's world. You know, friends, for you and I today, in the in-between, what seems like a detour, what seems like a small thing, could be an opportunity for someone to encounter God through you. What could seem small could be the way God works through you in someone's life. My friends, your detours, your in-between moments are moments for others to encounter God through you. So can I encourage you, point number four, look for opportunities to step out in that today. Look for opportunities to step out in faith today. You know, friends, there are people in your world that you might not notice being themselves. Like the cupbearer, the baker, they might look upset. They seem like they're not themselves. You can be the one to ask the question. You don't seem yourself. How are you today? Are you okay? You look upset. Is everything all right? You don't seem like yourself. You know, don't underestimate what a question like that, a spirit-empowered, spirit-led question like that with wisdom and discernment can bring about in someone's life. You know, Graham, we were talking about that last week, how just asking people, how are you in the volunteer work that you were doing, how doors open for what God wanted to do. Don't underestimate what a spirit-empowered, led question of how are you going? You don't seem like yourself, what that can do in people's life. You can also be the one who brings God in the conversation. You know, that is a tough situation to handle. Can I pray for you? That challenge you're going through, I can't help. But I know the one who can. His name is Jesus. You know, in the in-between, my friends, there are people in your world who you have the opportunity to impact with the hope and love of Jesus. As you wait for the unseen to be seen, as you wait for the promise to come to pass, there are people who will come across your path today that God has the opportunity for you to impact. It's not the end destination that we are just looking for. There's the in-between that God has opportunity for you to bring breakthrough, to bring impact, to see His power operating through your life powerfully. So who can you bring God into the conversation with? Who can you invite to church? Who can you say, hey, come and sit with me at Easter? You know, Pastor Lee spoke last week about Christ's love compelling us. Let's together be people, because of the love of Christ, being compelled that in the in-between that we pursue the opportunity to share Christ's love and hope with those around us. You know, friends, as I wrap up this morning and as I invite the team to come, as I think about the story of Joseph, if I look across those 4 points and his stories, a common thread that I see in the in-between is this, the duality of him recognizing God's power in his life, recognizing what God was doing. On one side, God's power and authority, but he also did his part. He was diligent with what God gave him. He made the most of the opportunities put in front of him. You know, for us today, our call to action is to keep pursuing that duality. The duality of letting God do what only He can, that He is sovereign, that He will work in His power, that He is with you, but taking care of what is entrusted to us, making the most of opportunities of He's given us today. You know, pursuing the two together in one hand here, the surrender, but also pursuing stewardship. Can I encourage you that is a key to thriving in the in-between, that I pursue the surrender. God, your will be done. It's only your way. I recognize your power, but whatever you've placed in my hand, whatever you've given me today, I will look after it well. I will work with it at diligence. I will make the most of those opportunities. Because friend, our thriving in the in-between, I was working towards that thriving in the between has the opportunity to see breakthrough in our world, but has the opportunity to see breakthrough in the world of the people around you, the people you are called in your world, in your sphere of influence. You know, whilst we by faith believe for the unseen to be seen in our lives, for that breakthrough to happen in our lives, that we have the opportunity through the mighty power of God to impact those around us. And so, you know, this active pursuing of surrender and stewardship, this is something I'm actively pursuing. I want this to be the hallmark of my life, that I go, I'm so surrendered to all that you want to do. Let your will be done, but not your will, but not my will, but yours be done, Lord. But also, God, whatever you place in my hand today, I want to work diligently at it. I want to hold on to it and work towards it. And you know, there's things personally that I'm believing for by faith. And I'm naturally a problem solver or try to find a solution. Anyone else like that? Any problem solvers or solution finders in the room? Yep. So, you know, often the stewardship part is a lot easier for me. The stewardship part, oh, good, I'll go after a solution. I'll try and work this out. I can try and work this out. But Holy Spirit said to me so clearly, don't forget the balance of surrender, to let go and let God. That looking after the two, the stewardship and the surrender, just like in the life of Joseph, he was yielded to what God would want him to do. He recognized God's power, but what God put in his hand, he took care of everything. And you know, as I do this, as I'm learning to do this, as I'm learning to find that stewardship and surrender, God is bringing opportunities that I wouldn't have thought had been possible. You know, God is leading me to simple, authentic conversations with people from work, with friends, to bring God in the conversation that I never thought would be possible. And you know, this is something that's unique to me. Definitely not. This is for each and every one of us. That, you know, as we pursue surrender to His will, not my will, but yours be done, Lord. As we pursue this stewardship, God, whatever you have placed in my hand, whatever opportunity you give me, I'm going to pursue this. That in the in-between, be encouraged that God is working. God is working in power in your life, in my life, that we will see those things come to pass. But in the in-between, keep pursuing all God has for you. Keep stepping out in faith, knowing that God wants to work with you, work through you to do what only He can. And you know, friend, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus personally, you know, just Jesus' life points, I said Joseph's life points the life of Jesus. But if I talk about stewardship and surrender, Jesus was the one who ultimately modeled perfectly stewardship and surrender. Joseph saved the lives of many through a food drive, but Jesus saved all our lives for eternity through His death on the cross. See, Jesus saved all humanity through His death on the cross. Jesus lived a perfect life on earth, which qualified Him to die on the cross for our sins, the things that we do wrong. Through His death, burial, and resurrection, He made a way for you and I to be restored to relationship to Him. And if you're in the room this morning or you're watching online and you have not experienced that personal restoration of relationship to God, I want to give you the opportunity to do so today. You know, it's the best decision you can ever make to say, God, I need you in my life. I want to follow you. I know many people in this room who have made the decision and it has been life-changing for them. So, you know, Romans 10:9 says this, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Just as Joseph saved many, Jesus gives the opportunity to all be saved and to be restored in right relationship with Him. So in a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer and the church will repeat it after me. And if that's you, you'd like to be included in that prayer of saying, yes, I need to know you. I want to be restored to relationship with God. Would you join me in praying that prayer? Church, would you pray after me? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. I declare with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. And I believe in my heart that God, you raised Jesus from the dead. I'm sorry for the things that I've done that are wrong. Today I choose to follow you. I ask you to lead my life and guide me each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.